All right. Now, don't forget, if you've given your heart to Jesus, you must be baptized. So please be baptized next week, and that's going to be a great time together. We'll get the kids and go on our way to Tarabella, have a lunch there together. And so don't miss next Sunday. We'll have you out there early so it won't be too hot. They do have good, shelter and picnic places there around the pool and great seating, great parking, so don't worry about anything. How many is going to go out to the baptismal with us? Okay, all three of you. Well, that's good. Don't have to plan for anybody. Why are you guys so bashful? I mean, you don't have a pastor that's that bashful. I mean, listen, the only time that I get scared and bashful is if I visit another church and I'm sitting out there and the pastor says, "Oh, Pastor Paulette, we'd like for you to stand or come to the platform and greet the people." And when he says that, I just freeze up. I am not kidding you. My face goes red. I just feel like I am going to faint. I don't want to say anything, but I'm good with you. So, look, how many of you, I mentioned the president a while ago and the administration, but how about those bunker busters? How about the men that flew those there? Was that amazing to think about those men? Oh, my goodness. And we just can't say enough about what the Lord has done to keep not only America safe, but Israel safe, while people are screaming in the streets, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, horrible things, burning the American flag, holding up the Iranian flag and all these other flags. So hopefully, who knows, you guys, what might happen now? I mean, there's sleeper cells that have come through the borders. We don't even know who's in America. So be prayerful this week. Be very prayerful because it will happen soon. Whenever they strike at Israel, they hate America. You know, they've called us the big Satan, Israel, little Satan. But they bragged a lot. They boasted a lot. But see who got the last laugh. And it's not really a laugh. I noticed the president was very humble as he was speaking. He got in and got out. Usually he's kind of boastful and, you know, and shows off a little bit. But you know what? He knew how to take care of business. Keep peace through strength. Amen. So I'll just leave that there. But I want you to go over to the book of 2 Timothy with me. And I am going to bring you a reminder. This is what the Lord told me to remind you of these things. So I am reminding you of some things this morning. And if you'll pay attention right here for just a moment, please look at me. If I could give you homework for the week, it would be this. I'm not going to say allow the word to speak to you, but that's what we're going to do. The word is going to bring this message to you today, all by the word. And I'm going to ask you in your homework, please read the entire book of 2 Timothy. There are only 4 chapters in it, and they're short chapters. But to get the gist of the entire book and to get the power of it and the strength of it for our day, this hour, you need to have this book in your heart. So please read 2 Timothy, the entire chapters, okay? 4 chapters. So here's where I want us to start. Let's go over to, I'm not sure how I gave this to you, Kathy, but you usually follow me pretty well. Let's go over to chapter 4. I'm just going to read verse 3. Paul was speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy, and telling him what to preach, how to preach, and instruct him in giving information to God's people, that early church of that day. So, of course, Paul said, "Timothy, you preach the word," in verse 2, "and be ready in season and out of season." You don't have to back up. We're just going to stay at verse 3. But he said, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." How many know we get out of season sometimes? You better preach with me or this could get long. Thank you. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So I figured if I was going to rebuke, exhort, and teach, I better just let the word handle it. All right, so here we go. Verse 3. Look at this. Look at verse 3. Here's where we are today. For the time will come. Somebody say, the time will come. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because, this is why, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. So he said, son, all you've got to do is fulfill your ministry, do the work of an evangelist. What is that? An evangelist carries the gospel in them. The Bible calls us living epistles. When you're a part of the remnant, you just can't help but walk in the office of an evangelist and do your work of the ministry that he has called you to. That's just who you are. It's just what you do. It just comes out of you. And the words that you put into yourself, they just seem to flow out at the right time, to the right people, at the right place. And you're like, I didn't even know I knew that. But it's because somewhere along the line, you put that into your spirit. Our spirits are like a computer. What goes in, it will come out at the given time. But he said, however, we're in the time where they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll just turn the truth of God into fables. It will matter not to them. Just scratch my ears, give me happy-go-lucky, I'm going to be rich kind of sermons, and I'll be happy with that. But don't be picking on me when I come to church. All right, so let's go on over to chapter 3. Let's back up to chapter 3. And let me give you an example here of two very important people that followed Moses. And it's funny that Paul brings them up in the New Testament. And this was thousands of years ago. But he just wanted Timothy not to forget these two important people. He said, now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these resist the truth, the people I just told you about. They resist the truth. They are men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. He said they resisted the truth of Moses, Timothy, and they will resist the truth that you bring. There will be some always in the congregation that may even resist the word that comes from this pulpit. So he said it's a given, but it's usually men of corrupt minds that don't want to receive it. They disapprove of the faith, but their folly, listen now, their folly will be manifested to all. And how many know you're watching the world right now as they are corrupt and pretty crazy? Their folly, their foolishness is just being exploited. It's just being manifested. I mean, just look at them and you're like, this can't be true. Surely no one is that ignorant. The Bible says they're just corrupt, and that's what happens. Let's go back then to chapter 2. I know I'm going backwards, but that's one thing I love about the Word of God. You can read it backwards or forwards or upside down or forward, sideways, however you want to read it, and it all adds up. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. So here's what he told me to remind you of And this is exactly what I'm going to remind you of. Verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. So what things does he want us to remind you of? Well, let's go up to verse 11 and show you some of these faithful things or these faithful sayings. Verse 11 in the same chapter, chapter 2. Verse 11 says, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. And if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, well, what will he do? He says, I'll deny you. And if we are faithless, look how sweet this is. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He'll still save them, save us, if we will only go back to him, even when we feel faithless. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Not only cannot, he will not deny himself. So he said, I just wanted you to see when he died on the cross, we all died with him. When he rose up, we rose with him. So if we live in him, and we do, he says we will also reign with him. We have some power in this life. Because he said to those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to those who are in him, to those who have received the kingdom, to those who love him, them, the message of the cross is power, and it is strength, and it is deliverance. And that's why he said we have power because of the message of the cross. Okay, so we reign with him, but we don't deny him. Because he said, he will deny you. Verse 14 again. Remind them, now you know what things. Remind them, my people, remind them of these things. Okay, verse 15, look at this. Now be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is so sharp. It is so powerful. And I was in my office this morning praying before anyone got in there. And I was thinking of those, what the president and the men called bunker busters. Now, Iran had those horrible nuclear plants that could have blown up Israel, as they threatened, we'll blow them off the map. And so those nuclear shelters were down in the earth about 300 feet, they said, 300 feet down, so deep. And not only were they deep, but they were in like a valley among mountains. You saw it on TV. They were surrounded by mountains, but the bunkers were way down in the earth, 300 feet. So only America had bombs strong enough, 3,000-pound bombs, and the stealth, what did they call that, the stealth? Yeah, stealth jets were only the ones powerful enough around the world that could drop those, and they were precise, and they were on target. And then we had submarines that sent off Tomahawk missiles, and the precision of those working together was an absolute miracle from God, and intelligence that our Navy had with the submarines shooting those Tomahawk missiles, and then the stealth bombers going over and dropping those bombs 3,000 feet into the earth and just tore up that nuclear plant. I mean, just totally obliterated it, as the president said, and blew them away instead. So with that said, think about it, church. We have, let me say to you today, those of you maybe all of us have something way down deep within us. I pray it's not unforgiveness. You just cannot forgive someone, or those things you can't forget. Maybe it's a fear. Maybe it's a worry. But it is so deep in you, you've never been able to deal with it. You just haven't. You don't know what to do with it. You shut people out around you because these hurts, these memories are so deep. Who can deal with it? Well, it's not a stealth bomber. It's not America. We don't need a Tomahawk missile. This is it. This is the greatest weapon that Jesus uses. So how are we going to get? This is not a 3,000-pound bomb. I can't even say what it is. It is dynamite. The Bible says dunamis, translated dynamite in English. And so this is the stealth bomber. This is the bomb that will go right down into the deepest depths of your heart and your mind and just bomb those things out and get rid of them and split them into a million pieces, and they have to leave at once. How do we do that? You put this in here. And if you don't put this in here, you don't get it by wishing. I know you came to church today, and I'm reminding you of these things, but then when you go home, I pray that you'll do your homework this week and read it all, because there's a part of this that will come in, and the book of Hebrews tells us that this word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can cut way down into the intents of the heart. Your intentions. What were you thinking? What was your motive? And it says it can even go into the bone marrow and bring healing and deliverance. And so make sure that you get a piece of this word, a scripture. If you don't have time in the morning to read the entire chapter, then just read a portion of it. Read 4 or 5 verses. But do something to get this dunamis power into your heart to bust those things up. This is a bunker buster. And that's a shallow word to use for the word of God. But it's the only thing I know that will kill. Maybe you've got a habit. Maybe it's a private thing. You don't, no one else knows but you. You say, well, it isn't hurting anybody but me. Well, it's going to hurt you. It could destroy you. You know what Satan is talking about you? You know what he's saying? I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to wipe them off the face of their family. I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. He wants to destroy this weapon you and I have available to us all the time, 24/7, 365. And as long as we're on earth, we have this. All right, so let's go on. Oh, he said, now present yourself, verse 15, be diligent, pay attention, sober, present yourself approved to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing this word. You've got to divide it. You have to read it. Oh, I've already divided it this morning. I've told you about some things to come. There would be people with itching ears. And then we went over and talked about some Old Testament people that heard Moses, but it didn't influence them. It said they had corrupt minds and they disapproved the faith. So we talked about Jannes and Jambres. Now we're coming over here saying, let me remind you now that you died on the cross with Jesus and you rose with him and you have the power to live rightly before the Lord. And I have given you an entire book to use as weapons anytime that you're going through. Now, let me tell you something. You say, well, I don't always know where to look when I'm going through a financial bind, or my kids are giving me trouble, or I'm giving me trouble, or my body's giving me trouble. I don't know where to go. I'm going to tell you, if you'll get right here in what I've given you to read this week, I'm telling you, it'll hit every area of your life. Amen? Okay, let's read on verse 16. This is just plain old good truth right here. But shun That's an old-fashioned Pentecostal word. We used to use that word. My pastors and the people that prayed for us in the altars would say, shun evil appearance. You shun that evil appearance. So, old-fashioned word, but still very prevalent. But you shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message, look at this, their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. He said, there's some people that you, please don't run with people like that. Don't run with people that are always negative, always gossiping, always got something to say about somebody else. They're perfect, but everybody else has got the issue. All right, don't even run with them. And do not argue with them. You know, you don't have to argue with them about anything, but Paul's saying don't argue even about this word. Because he said there was two men, and he names them by name. He's already called two people by name. Now he's going to call two more people by name, Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said they're these sort of people. But he said don't argue with them. Just shun those silly old babblings. They're acting like they know it all. Maybe you can present, Titus said, present your case once or twice. After that, just leave it alone because they are a heretic. And don't hang out with people like that because it gives you the end of their life. It says, and that they overthrow the faith of some. People like that, you say, they can't overthrow my faith. Well, they might if you hang out with them. Decide who you're going to run with and who you're not. You know the old saying. You get a guy up here, he's up here on a high table or a stage, and you're trying to, he's trying to, you think, well, I'm going to pull him up with me. I'm going to pull this, you're up here. I'll pull him up with me, and I'll teach him, and I'm going to marry this guy. Listen, he doesn't know the Lord, Pastor. Does he know the Lord? No, he doesn't. But you know what? He's starting to listen to me. Well, of course he is. He wants to marry you. Sure he is. So, well, I'm going to be up here, and I'll pull him up where I am. But you know the old story. It's much easier for them down here, that's down here, you're up here, they're down here, to pull you down than you to pull them up. And what did I just read to you? These kind of people of this sort, they overthrow the faith of some. They can't overthrow the faith of all, but they can certainly overthrow the faith of many, of some, because that's just the way they are. And some are not settled where they should be in the Word of God. They're not stable. They're not faithful with God. So you must be more careful than anyone because you don't want your faith overthrown. Verse 19, look at this. Nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless. You know what that means. The solid foundation of God stands, period. The solid foundation, solid as a rock, solid as a rock. Having this seal, this is what it said. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't hang out with it. Separate yourself from iniquity. Separate yourself because it says he knows who is his. I love that. He knows your name. He knows I'm his. He knows you're his. There's no doubt in his mind that you belong to him. That's wonderful. The Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who names his name, if you say Jesus is Lord and you belong to him, then walk away from iniquity. Don't hang with those that do it. Okay? If you're comfortable with running with people that's using four-letter words and carrying on and, you know, stay away. What are you doing? The Bible says light has no business with darkness. Oh, boy, you're getting out there. No, I'm not. The word is. I'm just going to let the word speak. Okay. So, he says, depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but there's also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. And God says, I know about that. I know those that are there to honor me and those that are just borrowing the gospel for whatever cause. Vessels of gold and silver, but there's also wood and clay. Some to honor, some to dishonor. But you know what? I want everybody in the house. So don't be talking about anybody, what they're doing. Well, if they come, you know, and choose God's house and choose to stay, I would rather you be here. I don't care if you smoked 10 joints yesterday. I'd rather you be in the house with us. I don't care who you slept with or what you did. I'd rather you be here than out there. But you stay. You will rightly divide this word. God will help you. He knows your name. He knows you and he will keep you. So don't be putting anybody down when you know what they're doing, okay? You just pray for them and you stay close and you pray, but don't be hanging out, all right? All right, I better go on. Verse 21, therefore, if anyone, look at this word. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that means from wood and clay and dishonor, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. What? Cleanse yourself? Are you serious, Lord? Couldn't you just do it for us? He said, I've given you your word. I've given you my word, and I will help you, but you cleanse yourself. What's that mean? It means set yourself apart. To be sanctified means set apart. Now, if he has set us apart for himself, and he has, and we want to go over, you know, 1 Corinthians 10 says you can't eat at the Lord's table and the devil's table. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and drink the cup of devils. So he said, now you draw the conclusion and you cleanse yourself. And if you do, then you'll be set aside for the master's use because he's already called us. So he said, now prepare yourself for good works. I almost call this today preparing for the rapture. How many believe the rapture's upon us? Sooner than we think. He said, if anyone cleanses himself. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. All right, so stay close to those that have a pure heart, that have faith. But he said, if you've got to run from it, if you have to run from lust, then go after righteousness. Just like you go after lust, go after righteousness. With faith and hope and love and peace with those who call on the name of the Lord. Stay close to people who call on the name of the Lord. But the only way you can, you don't befriend a person who's not calling on the name of the Lord. They want no part of it. After a while, he said, just shun the appearance of evil and shun foolish babblings. If they want to argue with you, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? They're trying to pull you down. Okay, that's when you release them. Tell them, get back in church, come and hear the word, but I'm not running. You're not going to influence me like that, all right? You don't want your faith overthrown. But you seek the Lord and be there for people who want to be ministered to. Look at verse 23. This is important to God. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Don't argue about it, knowing that they generate strife. And if people can get you full of strife and arguments and debates, that's what they want to do. So avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Look at verse 24. And a servant of the Lord... He's going again. This is about the third or fourth time we have mentioned this. But a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. Wow. But as long as you're quarreling all the time, you're just not a happy person. Verse 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Now be careful of that. You say, well, I'll go straighten them up. I'll give them a piece of my mind. Well, you might ought to keep it. You might need it. That's what I say. I'll give you a piece of my mind, but I might need it. But it says, correct them in humility, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. You know what witnessing means? It means to tell them about the forgiveness of Jesus, that he will forgive them and wash them. Verse 26. Why? That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So he said, remember this, they've been taken captive by the devil to do whatever he wants them to do, but pray that those that you meet will come to their senses and you will help them escape the snare of the devil. Chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Ooh, they will be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. They'll be brutal, despisers of good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Here's the punchline. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away. I'm just going to leave that and ask you if you'll go ahead this week and get this word in you, that entire book. I promise you it'll be a blessing to you. Would you stand with me today? Wonderful Jesus. I know that was a lot of reading, but I think it was well worth it. Amen, amen. Just let the Bible preach to us. We don't do that very often. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had. I want to thank you for your mighty word. It is powerful. It is strong. And it cuts to the intent of the heart and mind. And Lord, if there be something hidden deep, deep down into the feelings, the hurt, the spiritual bone marrow, I pray, Lord, that this word today, as they go home and begin to read it this week, Lord, may you send the angels with that powerful dunamis power to bust everything out, that it will not be hidden anymore. It will be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, take it from your sweet people. That deep-rooted thing that's there. I don't even know, but Lord, I felt that so strongly in my spirit that some have things hidden so deeply it's never been dealt with. But Lord, your word can deal with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, are you ready for a blessing? Come on, raise your hand up to Jesus. Father, I pray that you bless and keep your sweet people. Bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his beautiful countenance towards you and give you peace that passes understanding. May he keep you in your heart, mind, and your soul, your emotions, your love life, and your family. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being at Landmark today.